Well, good morning. It is truly a privilege to be asked by Pastor Pavel to fill the pulpit here because you have such a wonderful group of men and women who are skilled in the Word of God and gifted and anointed to share what is on God's heart. And so I don't take it lightly. And with that in mind, let's just like to pray before we get started. Father, I'm looking to you to give me the words that are on your heart this morning. And I'm asking that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, give clarity to those words so that we cannot miss what it is you desire to impart to us. I thank you, Lord, for every person that you've brought here today, whether it's in person here in this room or it's online, God, and I believe that you have something for every single one. And so, Lord, I yield myself to you. I ask for your supernatural grace to flow now and to bring forth this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a story, kind of an allegory that is told. I heard it many, many years ago, but I think it's appropriate for us today to think about it again. And it's the story of an old gentleman who lived in Europe. This was probably 100 years ago, who more than anything else wanted to emigrate to the United States. And after years of hard work and effort, saved up enough money to book passage on a steamer to cross the Atlantic and come to the United States. And he spent everything he had in order to be able to take this journey. And he gathered up little bits of food and crackers and things because he had no money to spend on the trip itself. And so he just subsisted on the little bit that he was able to bring along. And when he arrived in New York, the people that were sponsoring him and received him looked at him, and he was very gaunt. He looked like he hadn't eaten. He looked starved, frankly. And they said, "What happened?" And he said, I spent all the money on the ticket. I didn't have any money to spend on food. And they looked at his passage, and they said, "When you purchased this ticket, the meals were included. Everything was paid for." And honestly, I feel like, and I'm talking to myself now, so much of my Christian walk is like the man who thinks he has to scrimp and just get by because I've spent everything to get across. And the reality is, when Jesus paid for us, when he saved us, he gave us everything. Not some things, everything. Everything that we need is included in the salvation that Jesus Christ offers to us. And so this morning, I'd really like to talk about what we sang about, and that is the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I believe if we begin to get a revelation of the real universe-shaking power that is in that blood, it will change our lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the person who gets to heaven and discovers then what this life was supposed to be. Like, you mean I could have walked in that now? You mean I could have had access like that now? I don't want that to be my experience, and I don't want it to be your experience. And so I want to talk this morning, and I'm going to use our physical bodies and our blood as kind of an illustration to present the power that is in the blood of Jesus. And the scriptures kind of support me on that. In Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." Nature actually reveals God. And I love this morning when Brother Ray was saying about, or somebody, now I don't remember who, was talking about how many scientists are coming to the Lord as they make discoveries about nature itself, about the human body itself, about the universe itself. They're coming to the realization that evolution stinks. It doesn't answer the important questions. And as a result, they recognize if we have a patterned creation, we have to have a pattern giver. And many, I've heard as many as 60% of scientists are coming to the realization that there must be a God. And as a result, are coming to Jesus Christ. So I want to take a little bit of time this morning and just look at how our blood works, and all by the design of God, and therefore pointing us to the power that is in the blood of Jesus. And the word of God itself in Leviticus chapter 17 establishes that blood is the atoning agent. God says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your sins, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." According to God's own word, the life is in the blood. So one of the things that our blood does is it cleanses our bodies constantly by removing impurities from our cells. And if you exercise and you get that really tired feeling and your muscles are weak, you have a lot of buildup of waste in your muscles, the blood begins to remove that and refresh all of that. It removes the carbon dioxide that is produced when oxygen is used by our cells. So it's this cleansing process. Well, 1 John 1, 7 through 9 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." I have to say this. This morning, hearing you all singing was awesome. Getting to stand there and hear these voices lifting up the Lord, that is, oh my gosh, that does something to my spirit. And that is part of the fellowship that we enjoy as being in Christ. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, his son, cleanses us from most sin. You're going to call me out, aren't you? Because does it cleanse us from most sin? All sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know that it is an act of justice for God to forgive you of your sin when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? It is an act of justice for him to do that. So Jesus' blood not only takes away the penalty for sin, his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And unrighteousness has to do with character. It has to do with the way we live, the way we act. The blood of Jesus is cleansing us from anything that would contaminate or take away from or corrupt the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. It is working in us now, working to transform us and to change us. In the old covenant, the blood covered the sin. If you remove the blood, the sin was still there. In the covenant that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin is taken away. It is gone. So as we live in the light of Jesus' presence, his blood actually attacks the sin nature. It is set in opposition to the sin nature, and it imparts the divine nature of God. That's what Jesus' blood does in our lives. If you need that today, it's available for you. If you're struggling with something, the blood of Jesus is available to you today. Our blood also sustains our life and gives us power. The blood carries oxygen throughout the body. Our cells need that oxygen. It's fuel. It also carries nutrients throughout the body. And here's an interesting little factoid. Every single cell in your body receives new life from your blood every 50 seconds. Isn't that something? That God could design your body in such a way that every single cell in your body is getting a jolt of life through your blood every 50 seconds. Hallelujah. Lord, pour it out. I mean, seriously, sometimes I don't feel like that. But the blood supplies what is needed to keep us alive. And not only alive, but thriving. And in John chapter 6, verse 54, Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus gives us his very life. He doesn't give us a copy of his life. He literally pours his life into us. The life of God. And that concept of eternal life isn't just about quantity. It's about quality. And he doesn't say that we will have eternal life. He says, everyone who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has. Do you know you can experience eternal life now in this life? It's available to you through the blood of Jesus. And that life, the life of God, which is available to each one of us moment by moment, every day, has the power to overcome all sin and everything that the enemy would throw at us. It is the most powerful life-giving agent there is. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." How many of you have heard that verse before? Okay. If he had said, well, let me put it this way. People on earth pay fortunes to gain access to people of influence. God is telling us we have access by the blood of Jesus to the very throne of God. We have access to the center of all authority in the universe. The passage that we read, and I want to take a moment and read it from Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 5. No, chapter 4. And I want to read this because I think sometimes if you've read this passage, you may think, wow, wasn't that cool for John to have that experience? And what the Lord wants you to understand is this was not an experience that was reserved for the Apostle John. This is the reality for every blood-bought Christian. And it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. That door is Jesus Christ, and that door is still open. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. He is being invited into the throne room of God. And in verse 2, it says, at once I was in the spirit and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. Now, I don't know if your imagination can begin to take you to that scene, but if you try just a little bit to picture that, from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. That is the throne that we are told to approach boldly. Not arrogantly, but boldly. We have access to that. God didn't create some watered-down throne room somewhere in a back corner of heaven that you get to go into. He is inviting you, and through the shed blood of Jesus, you have access to that throne. I think one of the things that can happen is we grow in our intimacy with the Lord, but rather than growing to encompass who he is, we make him less than he is so we can get him. And the reality is, you're not going to get him. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. And everything in between. He is the one who moment by moment sustains all of creation. It tells us he holds all things together by the word of his power. This is the one with whom we have to do. This is the one who invites us. Come before my throne. Come before my throne. You have access to the throne of God. And I want to encourage you, because it's not just here and there access, or if we're having a really good day access, or if we haven't done anything wrong that we can tell access. Because what Ephesians tells me is that not only was Jesus raised to the right hand of the Father in glory, but you and I were raised with him. And that we right now are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not beautiful poetry. And it's not nice words to a good song. That is the spiritual reality of your life when you are in Christ Jesus. And so you are unique in all of creation because you get to live from two places at the same time. You get to live from this planet. I'm standing on a platform in Grantville, Pennsylvania. But at the very same time, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means I'm at the right hand of the Father right now. That means when we're worshiping, I'm worshiping from here, but I'm also worshiping there. That also means when I'm praying from here, but I'm also praying from the right hand of the Father. You have access. Those things that you have been carrying on your heart, that some of them you don't even have words for. You haven't been able to formulate words. You're just bearing it on your heart. God sees and God knows because you are at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me want to change the way I go about my life. Because I have access to something that has the potential to transform everything, not just me, but the world around me. Amen? You have that potential. This isn't for super Christians or people who are called into ministry. This is for every single blood-bought Christian, and it was purchased by the blood of Jesus. God looked at his son and said, pour out the blood because I want them here. I want my throne room filled with my people. And if you think I'm like pushing you to be too heavenly minded, Colossians 3:1 says, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. And you're in him, so you're seated at the right hand. If nothing else, I hope this energizes your prayer life. You have access. Every one of you, access. And you know, if you're here today and by some sad situation, you are not in Christ Jesus, sin is not an excuse for being separated from God because the blood of Jesus Christ dealt with that. And no one's looking at you and saying, get your act together. You have to come to the Lord. He's the one who will get your act together. So I encourage you, when you are in prayer, when you're not in prayer, when you're going about your day, recognize the reality that you are not only here on earth, but you are trafficking in heaven. And I believe you are the channel. We pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are the channel for that to happen because you dwell both in heaven and here on earth. And God wants to move heaven through you to change your world. So Jesus' blood gives us boldness to access God's heavenly courtroom and pray and worship and engage with the Lord as we're called to rule and reign with him. And if nothing else, I certainly hope that God puts it in your heart enough that it scares the heck out of the devil. Because if you're a Christian who knows you have access to the throne room of God, he is threatened by you. And if we're going to go through this life and we're going to deal with the things we're going to deal with, I sure would like to put him through hell. Another thing that our blood does is, As our muscles and tissues work, it creates heat, and that heat is transferred to the blood, and that keeps our bodies at a typical warm. We're warm-bodied creatures. That's where that comes from. It warms the rest of the body so that our temperature, body temperature, does not fluctuate that much. And one of the things that we see, I believe, with the blood of Jesus, because it warns that in the last days, many, their hearts will grow cold. If you need an infusion of passion today, if you need an infusion of fire from the throne of God today, it's in the blood of Jesus. It's the thing that warms us. It's the thing that keeps our passion burning, even in the face of adversity, even when things are difficult. Jesus said in John 6:56, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Do you know you live a life abiding in Christ? And Christ abides in you. Wherever you go, Jesus is there. In a way, that's why for me it's kind of funny when we gather and we pray, Lord, come, when he's in all of us. I think what we really want to pray is, Lord, come forth. Be expressed in and through us. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the place that God has chosen to dwell. You cannot be separated from him. If you are in Christ, you are one with him. The scripture says, those who are in Christ Jesus are one spirit with him. That's a level of unity and oneness that we need to begin to meditate on so that, again, as we're walking through our days, we're not crying out to God as though he's somewhere far off. Remember who you are and where you are and who lives in you. You are the threat to the enemy. And Jesus invited us to share in communion as a way of accessing everything that he provided through his broken body, through his shed blood, that we would remember all that his blood has accomplished. And one of the things our blood does in a dire situation, there are hormones and things and enzymes and vitamins that are released, and one of those is adrenaline, and I'm sure you've all heard of what happens when somebody gets a shot of adrenaline and all of a sudden they can do something that normally they couldn't do, like some superhuman feat, lift something heavy, like stories about a mother and the child is run over by a car and she lifts the car up. It's this shot of adrenaline. And in the same way, the blood of Jesus Christ, when we are hit with a spiritual crisis, the blood of Jesus Christ is there to give us power to address that thing. And in Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, and they have conquered him, meaning the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ allows you to overcome. You are empowered. I'm going to put it this way. You're empowered to win. God intends for you to overcome the enemy. That's not in your strength. But when you realize what he has done and what is available to you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Our blood also brings protection and healing from disease and things in the environment around us. The white blood cells protect the body from disease by swallowing up bacteria and other foreign substances. And it's the first step in the process of immunity. And some of the white blood cells form antibodies which directly resist the germs or the diseases that invade our bodies. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, we see the account where the children of Israel were told to take the lamb's blood. And where did they put it? Over the doors, right? The access point into the family, into the life of the family. They took the lamb's blood and put it over the door. And based on the presence of the lamb's blood, the angel of death did not enter. Now, that's an old covenant, and that was animal's blood. Now we're talking about the blood of Jesus. And it says in Psalm 105 that he brought his people safely out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. There were no sick or feeble among them. They had been covered by the blood of the Lamb. And I believe one of the things that God wants to make available to us this morning as you're partaking of communion, if you're here today and you need a touch from God in your body, his blood is here to bring healing, physical healing to your body. Very often I will take communion on behalf of others that I am praying for who need a miracle. I heard a testimony by a couple, an older couple that I pray with fairly regularly. And the story is that the wife, the woman, was asked to pray for a person who was dying of cancer. And she and another individual spent like a solid 24 hours in intercession praying, warring for healing. And after they gave everything that they had, prayed their hearts out, this individual died. And I don't know how many of you have buried your prayers, but I have. And it can be challenging to our faith. So she was in church the following Sunday, and a woman got up who the next day would go to have a double mastectomy. She was riddled with cancer. And the pastor called on this woman and said, "Would you pray for her?" And of course, at this point, frankly, she was mad at God. And her attitude was about as bad as you could imagine. And she got up, she was frustrated. She looked at the lady, she said, "The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus," three times, walked away. The next day, she went to the hospital where this woman was going to have the mastectomy, and she got into the room, and the bed was empty, and the woman's daughter was sitting next to the bed crying, and she almost said, "Where did they take the body?" But she said, "Where did they take your mother?" And this daughter said, "When they began the surgery, they realized there was no cancer in her body whatsoever." And I share that because I want you to know this woman was not in her best place. It's not about us, it's about him. It's about the blood of Jesus. It's enough. It's enough to take imperfect and bring it to perfection. We are being perfected. The blood is enough. I want to share one more little story with you. And then, again, I just encourage you this morning, whatever it is you need, receive it as you receive the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's here for you. He's made it available for you. Nothing missing. Back in the late 1800s, Louis Pasteur's protege in the study of germ theory was a man by the name of Dr. Pierre-Emile Roux. And after Pasteur's death, Dr. Roux became the head of the Pasteur Institute in Paris. That's where, if you think of pasteurized milk, that came from Louis Pasteur. And Dr. Roux's own granddaughter had died of diphtheria, and he was determined to discover what had actually killed her. And so he gathered 20 strong horses from the region around Paris and housed them in a makeshift laboratory in the woods near the city. And he took diphtheria culture and swabbed the horses' nostrils, their tongue, throat, their eyes with the deadly germs. And one by one, each horse developed a terrific fever and died. One final horse remained alive, but was very ill. And amazingly, after battling diphtheria for 3 days, the horse began to recover. And the fever left, and the horse was able to stand and eat and drink. So Dr. Roux drained the blood from the animal, now nicknamed the Overcomer, and separated the serum from the rest of the blood. And with this serum, he inoculated 300 babies that were quarantined in the municipal hospital in Paris who were dying of diphtheria. Only 3 of the babies did not survive. 297 were saved by the blood of the Overcomer. We have an Overcomer. And his blood is available to us. He invites us to his table to receive everything that the blood of Jesus has made available to us. So I encourage you today not to just go through the motions of communion, whatever it's meant to you before, but today, receive it from the Lord's hand and receive everything that he's made available to you, the cleansing, the strength, the access, the overcoming ability. Everything that he's made available to you, receive it today as we partake of communion. Amen.